for shelter.
You say there's no waiting list for permanent housing?
Oh, yes, there is a waiting list.
Yes.
Well, so both have a waiting list.
Everything, I mean, everything, we just don't have the capacity to get everybody inside this year.
Are we going to have a chance to just talk to Officer Marr for a second? Yeah. I want to ask one last question of the panel.
Well, actually, I've got one question.
Oh, excuse me, Mayor. After you.
Well, no, you're first.
I just think, just for the record to be clear on this, could someone explain, for my benefit, why the city stopped funding year-round emergency shelters to begin?
We didn't.
We do have year-round emergency shelter, not these mats. This program at the Salvation Army, we typically fund from the beginning of November to the end of March. This year, it was extended once from March until July 1st, and this resolution extends it to November.
I see. So it's a difference between the winter shelter. It's a seasonal thing.
Right. Which, but in November, we pick up on the winter funding.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
So let's give Officer Myers a chance to just make a comment.
I still have a question, Commissioner. Thank you. Then we'll get to Officer Myers.
This will be the last time I'm recognized on this body.
Chances are you're right.
I'm so glad you're here, Nick. You're taking all the pressure off me.
The question I have is the one that I have heard comments about from the homeless community about the temporary shelter with the mats, the cleanliness issue. Cockroaches running around. Is there an inspection program by the city or somebody to ensure that even though these are overnight shelters, that the cleanliness issue is addressed and that we don't have those kind of issues? I've heard it multiple times. People have testified here both at council, and I had two meetings with the homeless group when they were camped outside. Mm-hmm. That was always a major issue. The cleanliness of the mat bed shelters.
Well, there's several different mat bed shelters. So some of them are private, and then this is the only one that the city funds. Were they talking about this one?
Because
when I've been to this one, I mean, while they didn't have services, they were always really clean. I mean, every time I've been to the Salvation Army downstairs in their chapel area where they have the shelter, it's usually spotless. So I have never heard complaints around that particular site.
It was really around
services and having to sleep too close to people. And before, it used to have one bathroom, and now it has two. Those were the issues that I've always heard.
I've heard that too, but more often it was about the cleanliness issue.
Yeah.
And all I'm asking is there a system for inspecting it other than the occasional dropping by?
A formal mechanism, no.
Well, there is. I mean, we have housing
health
inspectors.
Department,
Well, not even the health department. That actually gets to that team that we put together to go after housing spots. And I'm assuming that given the focus of Officer Myers and that team that was formalized July 1st. We now have a formalized agreement where the Fire Bureau has, I don't know if you know this yet, Nick, but
Chief Klum briefed me on that last week.
Full-time inspector and fire investigator, that if there are those problems, I would advise letting them know, and they would definitely deal with that.
I would also like the agency, BHCD, that's responsible, have a system for doing that so that
that's a good idea.
It's not an additional burden, and it's not something when there's a complaint that's filed, it's done on a regular basis to ensure it. Yeah. That would be my recommendation.
That task force keeps targeting my favorite restaurants downtown. We have to talk about that.
Well, your favorite restaurants are very dangerous. So
that's what I hear.
You may think about where you have
City Attorney's office is getting nervous. Let's move on. Okay, so I'm really serious about this. I'd like to have that specific issue looked at.
Yeah, that's
and the Salvation Army in particular, but all of them, to make sure that they're clean. I mean, if folks don't go in there because they say, you know, it's worse sleeping in there than outside, which is what some of them have said, I think it's worthy of having setting up an inspection process. And I don't think it has to be an extensive one, but certainly on a regular basis.
Mayor, I think it's a tremendous idea. We'll report back to you just on the Salvation Army small world story. Remember when Ken Hodder was in charge of the Salvation Army here?
Yes.
He was like the commander.
Yes.
I forget his title.
Yes. Very, very effervescent man.
Lovely human being.
Yes.
Well, I knew him before he...
You know everybody.
I knew him before...
You know everybody.
I knew him before he wore the uniform because he was in college. He was the guy one door down.
Oh.
And then he had an experience, a life-changing experience later in his life.
Was it as a result of knowing you?
Anyway, great guy.
Sounds like law school to me.
It does. What did you do to him?
College. So okay. Let's hear from Officer Meyer.
Okay.
Thank you, folks.
And Bill Sennett, please. Bill is the head of the service coordination team, Mayor, part of your service coordination team in the police bureau, which for the public's edification is the manifestation of the council's reaction to doing away with the drug and prostitution free zones. So the police bureau was not, I think I can accurately, for Mayor Potter and I, describe enamored with our decision to do away with the prostitution drug free zones. That manifested itself in some very tough discussions between them and Mayor Potter and I. And we challenged them, okay, we want to actually fix problems, not move them to another neighborhood. The result was this service coordination team still heads up now, which is honestly, Mayor Potter, should be one of your proudest accomplishments. These guys do fabulous work out in the community, this being one of the subject areas, but others as well, that really is the most visible manifestation of your community policing effort that I've ever seen in the city. It's a fabulous program, and I'm really proud of it. So Bill heads that, and Jeff is a member of it.
My name is Jeff Myers. I'm a police officer with Central Precinct. Mayor Potter and commissioners, as you know, the question of how to deal with homelessness is a very convoluted issue. I think from the police bureau's perspective, we wholeheartedly and fully support your 10-year plan to end homelessness, but we would like to actually have a 10-minute plan as well to meet our needs in terms of how we deal with the homeless population. For the last 3 years, I've been coming to Mayor and Council to discuss this issue of year-round shelter, specifically at the Salvation Army and Day Access Center, specifically surrounding complaints we get from the community. We get complaints starting April 1st. Winter shelter ends March 31st, and then we spill out from the Salvation Army 90 men, and this year 60 women in emergency shelter in the Ramada across the river, in addition to shelter that we had through the Salvation Army, which we moved yesterday to the new facility. And then we have another group, the Rescue Mission, which is just a very extremely altruistic organization that supplies another 110 shelter beds just on their own, no support, any outside support at all. So what that effectually does is put 150 men and 60 women out in one day in the downtown community. And as you know, right, the location where those people seem to come, actually by design of the police bureau, we've done some SEPTED crime prevention through environmental design around parts of the city, dealing with right-of-ways and locations where the previous mayor, Vera Katz, felt that it was not a safe environment for people to be where they were living in terms of steep right-of-ways along 405 and I-5, 205. And more importantly, from a police perspective, we found that there were high incidents of crime. There were a homeless population embedded there, but there were also a population of criminals that could go and hide. So by having a warning mechanism and an enforcement policy around these areas that were traditionally used to camp and actually commit a lot of drug and drug-related property crimes, we've moved that population to an inner core, at least the ones around the 405 perimeter, down to the social services. And the intent was that once we did that, it would be a glaring problem, and then we'd find resources to deal with this issue. So what happens on April 1st, traditionally for the last 4 years, is we put this population out from emergency shelter, and they only have two places to camp. Essentially under the bridges, the Burnside Bridge, Morrison Bridge, above the bridge, and then over, ironically, at some Central City Concern properties and TPI itself. Now, what the conundrum is for police is we get calls from the community that we have people defecating, urinating, drugs, all sorts of problems at certain locations. And traditionally what police do is they go sweep areas. And ironically, California had a problem of much bigger magnitude in the last few years, and that's exactly how they responded in L.A., and they swept a huge number of people. Federal courts got involved and said, well, you really can't do that. It's actually with Ninth District now, appellate court, and what it appears the intent of the courts is that you police cannot do sweeps unless there is some capacity in shelter for that population to go. And frankly, it is. That was the conundrum from police. We go out and we get a call for service. Hey, we have these people in our doorway, and we can't have them here. They're interrupting our business. They're doing this and that. And it certainly is inhumane for us to come and say go and not have a place for them to go. So we have been working with the last 3 years with mayor and council to try and have some provision for some shelter so that we actually go out and have a place for people to go. And that's what at least for the downtown, that number that has maintained through winter shelter into the 90 plus the 60 beds that we get at Rescue Mission and then the capacity for women has been remarkable in mitigating those problems that we have from citizen complaints.
So, Bill, did you want to add anything?
Well, the only thing I would add is that the need is apparent, that when the shelters go away in spring, that there are people who still need the shelter, and they look for it, and they're upset that it's closed. And then when we reopen the shelters again, that they're filled to capacity almost every night. And we also look at it in a broader sense with the service coordination team that this is also a crime-fighting strategy, that it's not just women who can be victimized because they're sleeping out on the street, but the men are too, and that if they have a place to go where they're safe and secure for the night, that there's less chance they'll be victimized, and on many occasions then they are not out looking for opportunities to victimize people if they're so inclined. So we find that through all the different strategies that we use in the service coordination team, this is important. And we've seen the crime rate in downtown go down 29% in the last 3 years through a variety of efforts. And we see certainly like when we opened up the women's shelter yesterday and keeping these shelters open, that these are vital things to do for the livability of downtown. And certainly we think it's a human rights issue that people have a place to go. It might not be the perfect solution. It's not ideal for the 10-year plan, but it is certainly, I think, a responsibility of us to provide.
Thank you.
Well, I appreciate your work and your testimony, and what I look forward to as the new housing commissioner is blending your work and your perspective with the folks in my bureau who are charged with implementing the overall housing strategies. Make sure we're all on the same page working together. And I thank again Randy for raising this issue, and he and I are going to be involved in that process, and I think something good is going to come out of it, so I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, folks.
Thank you, Mayor and Council.
Is there a sign-up sheet on this?
There is. One person signed up, Andy Seaton.
Come forward, Andy. As you know, I've restricted your testimony, but particular issue here, I think, applies to what you've been speaking about, so you're allowed to testify for 3 minutes.
That's why I signed up.
So thank you for letting me speak, although it is my right to speak, not a privilege. Last time I checked,
it is a
First Amendment. Right to petition
the
government.
We may disagree on that point, but you're using your 3 minutes right now.
No, of course. Well, now it started. So there are several things. I took some notes over what Commissioner Fish was talking about, and I'd like to be able to talk to him offline about this, and also like to talk to Officer Myers, if that would be good. I've traded, left email messages for him, voicemail messages for him in the past, although last time I tried, his voicemail was full. Probably a good sign, I suppose. Anyway.
They're all from Randy.
Probably.
By the way, the last time my cell phone was full, Willamette Week ran a piece saying, Nick, please clear your cell phone so people could reach you. So maybe they'll provide the same service to Jeff on this one.
I don't know if they're still here, but yeah, that would be nice if they would do that.
Yeah, pardon me, could I have my 30 seconds back on that one? A couple things. You know, one of the folks that were doing the communications earlier pointed out that 43% of people in the 10-year plan fail after 1 year. You know, we could say that, and he was said that's absolutely horrid, and I would certainly agree, although perhaps we could look at it as saying the glass is more than half full, as saying 57% succeed. But, you know, after 10 years, if you're only succeeding, if you, the failure rate is 57%, that turns out to a chance of success to 0.3% after 10 years, if you amortize that out. So keep in mind that it's maybe a good plan, but it doesn't sound like it's working even in the short term.
By the way, those numbers, not to cut into your time, those numbers don't correlate to what our experience is. We'll get you the real numbers.
Thank you very much, because these numbers are indeed scary. And, you know, I've talking to homeless folks from listening to discussions here, many people do say that it's better to be on the street than to be on a 2-foot wide mat with a filthy blanket. And I also have concerns that, you know, that the regulations for using the bathrooms here in City Hall say that you can wash your hands and your face, but you can't wash your hair and things like that. So the question is, where can people wash clothes? Where can people take showers and that sort of thing? And whether or not, and it disturbs me to hear that these mats are being provided, but there's no services to go along with them. I think that's a major oversight. And talking about the budget, and talking some of the things that have been discussed in the past is putting some property tax or turnover fees, those sort of things. You know, you buy a house, you have to pay a certain percentage to the city, taking and just having fees for developers and that sort of thing. That would sound like a damn good place to be able to do sustainable funding for homelessness. And also, you know, on item number 951 for the street lights, street signals at 122nd, you know, almost $200,000 was saved on budgeted versus actual from the final bids. And one of my comments before oftentimes is, you know, where's that's a good place to look at. That's about as much money, you know, more money than is being spent on this services for the rest of the summer and fall. And the other major concern is that, you know, when people are finally able to get Section 8 vouchers, that many landlords don't accept them. So there are major concerns about the availability of housing. And one last thing, I'm sorry to say that Sam isn't here. I'll bring it up with him later. That he said that 21% of working families live below the poverty line, but the standard definition for poverty I've heard many times is the bottom 20% of the income curve. So, you know, if you want to try to drive out, put an end to poverty, you got to be careful how you define poverty. If it's always going to be the bottom 20%, there's always going to be a bottom 20%. So thank you. And thank you for letting me speak.
Is that all signed up to testify?
That's all.
This is a resolution. Please call the vote.
Fish?
Well, I'm going to support this resolution based in part on the understanding that Commissioner Leonard and I have reached in terms of looking at this issue within the context of our overall city housing policy and the opportunity to bring the police bureau and my bureau together to the table. And I'm going to ask Sally Erickson if she could set up. Start right away. Aye.
Leonard?
I appreciate Commissioner Fish's approach. I think that the results of the last, I think I would accurately describe 3.5 years, which doesn't coincidentally correlate with the time Mayor Potter has been mayor, because up to that point, a lot of these efforts were having to be done in back alleys because of some cultural problems that we were experiencing in the police bureau, and I think Jeff and Bill and other folks that are involved in this effort to provide these kinds of more holistic services than just throwing people in jail would say that they've been freed to do this kind of work at a level that's allowed this energy to happen to have this discussion today. So, Mayor Potter, thank you for that, because I've noticed the change as well. This is a great discussion. We should have had this discussion 3.5 years ago. So I really look forward to us sitting down and working through these issues, because we are all on the same page. And you have in Officer Myers and Bill Sennett and other members of the service coordination people who aren't just looking to throw people in jail. They're looking for solutions, which is what I appreciate about their efforts. And the results, I think, are in large part due to these efforts. The 29% drop in crime in downtown that Bill talks about is a huge, significant factor that just on an empirical basis, people say, I noticed that it's safer downtown. It feels safer, and it is. We've cleaned up the Grove Hotel. We've cleaned up, I mean, there's four hotels out there that people were living in inhumane conditions that as a result of these coordinated efforts, which BHCD is an integral part of, we've changed the lives of people. We went to the Grove Hotel yesterday, after just anecdotally, after we went to the Salvation Army open house, and it's stunning, the difference between now and exactly 1 year. 1 year ago, I went into a building that notwithstanding in my prior career, as horrible as buildings as I'd been in, I'd never been into conditions like that. It was the most, it made me angry walking through there that anybody could allow human beings to live that way. From that to yesterday to honestly, more like a college dorm than anything else, the Grove Hotel I'm talking about, all as a result of these efforts. So you have well-intentioned people who want to do the right thing, and we're at this kind of crossroads where I want to take advantage of that so we can all sit down, work this stuff out, get it adopted as a policy so we're all pushing in the same direction. So thank you, everybody, for your work. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, this has been a great discussion. I want to thank Commissioner Leonard for bringing this forward, and I look forward to the ensuing discussions between the police and BACD to be, to have some more holistic policies around shelter. Aye.
Potter.
And I appreciate the council's discussion on this, the work that BHCD does, as well as the homeless community itself being a strong advocate for services, because a lot of these issues wouldn't come to us unless folks point them out. So I appreciate that, too. So I think this is a step in the right direction, and I appreciate Commissioner Leonard's leadership on this. This is one of those things that may appear small to some folks, but if you're on the streets of Portland, and all of a sudden, April 1st comes around and you're kicked out, it presents a problem for you, presents a problem for the police. So I think these kind of solutions ultimately will get us to that 10-year plan to end homelessness. And I appreciate all the work that's been done on that. It's an impressive number of people who've gotten off the streets of Portland, Oregon, into permanent housing. We've got to reduce the rate at which people drop out, but I'm sure there are other issues that contribute to that as well. So thank you all. I vote aye. Please read item 956.
Extend term of a franchise granted to Time Warner Telecom of Oregon, LLC, to build and operate telecommunication facilities within city streets.
Second reading, call the vote.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Adjourn until next week.
So, Tom, on that issue of the pregnant thing, Mike Bingham, is that the ex-cop that's from Gainer the Tiger? He asked if he could be a part of that discussion. That's all his stuff. Right there. So, I told him I
well, he's got a lot of things in here.
It started on that. Great. You know,